views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is a delight to be with you. My name is Steve Kramer and I am joined by Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Good to be back.
Yes, to continue our month-long theme on harmlessness. It's been really intriguing. And I have to say, you know, I don't know about you, but we've really had to sort of watch ourselves because we just have a tendency as a humanity to go toward the dark, to go toward the drama. And we set out to really keep it, keep the conversation as much about harmlessness as the conversation is about harm. And I think we've done a pretty good job, and we're going to certainly make a point of that on this show. This is the fourth show on harmlessness, and this episode, we're going to talk about strengthening our harmlessness muscle. You know, as all muscles go, you got to use it or lose it. So you've got to strengthen that muscle. But before that, I'd love to tell people a little bit about our organizations. And I say our because Spirit Fire Radio is brought to you by two educational nonprofit organizations. And we are in cooperation to bring you this co-creative project all about bringing spirituality into your everyday life. I am here with Spirit Fire. We are an educational nonprofit. We have online classes. We own a retreat center in Western Massachusetts. Many of you might be familiar with the practice of living awareness, which is our own meditation practice. We just started a new round last week. And check us out. Wonderful meditation practice. It is for every level of practitioner. It is both a mindfulness practice and an insight practice combined. And look for that at spiritfire.com. Dorothy, a few words about the School for Esoteric Studies.
Yes, I'm Dorothy Riddle, and I'm with the School for Esoteric Studies. You can find more information about us at esotericstudies.net. We provide esoteric discipleship training for persons wanting to deepen their spiritual practice and to intensify their service in the world. And we have a number of initiatives that we undertake during the year. But a couple of years ago, we became aware that oftentimes spiritual groups work in isolation from each other, oftentimes even in competition with each other. And we took a conscious decision that we wanted to build collaborations with other groups. We have now, I think, 8 or 10 groups that we collaborate with around the world. But this is a very important collaboration to us, our collaboration with Spirit Fire to produce these weekly programs on Spirit Fire Radio. So, Steve, it's a delight to be back with you again this week.
Moving the esoteric into the exoteric, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, listeners, they might, you know, you might hear that word esoteric and think, what? Well, esoteric just simply means, it means innermost and the inner life. And so much of what we've been talking about on this show from the very first episode is ways in which we create a really rich inner life and get to know our inner life, which actually then helps and in fact creates our outer life. So it's a wonderful balance of esoteric and exoteric.
And I'd like to add, Steve, that I have a friend that refers to the esoteric as woo-woo. And I've been teasing her over the years that actually for the last 150 years, quantum physics has been saying exactly what the ageless wisdom says, which is the body of literature that esoteric studies grows out of. And that is that the world is all energy and we are all interconnected. It's not woo-woo. It's not odd, off their fringe. That is actually our reality. And so how we shape that reality is part of what we're talking about this month in terms of harmlessness.
Indeed. Without going down a huge rabbit hole, I would just say that the ageless wisdom goes far even into the future. That's what's so dynamic about it. Science has every step of the way, as science sort of catches up and creates one machine or a human being that can think outside of the box and bring it into our sort of conscious mind to put these parallels together. The ageless wisdom is right there saying, well, here it is. We've been saying it all along, and they haven't missed a beat once. So it's a wonderful course of study. Indeed.
And when we think about the concept of strengthening our harmlessness muscle, the reason I frame it that way in my book, Positive Harmlessness in Practice, which is a book focused on what we need to do in order to be harmless, not just what we need to stop doing in order to not do harm. When we start to think about it, we realize that much of our life, much of our focus, much of our activity is taken up with harm. We don't necessarily put that label on it, but it is not on things that advance the common good or help people feel respected and dignified, but rather on things that criticize and tear down. So this whole issue of noticing what it is, you know, where our focus is so critical, Steve. You know, and I think I'm just going to put the challenge out there because I put it to myself. Notice each day, take a week, and at the end of the day, think about how much of your day was taken up with noticing the positive, noticing the ways in which other people were helpful to you, or on the other hand, noticing what people didn't do, noticing things that didn't work, criticizing other people for what they themselves were doing. And see what the balance is, because often the balance is towards the negative, not the positive.
Yeah. And once you notice that, then you sort of have fun with noticing in general. I mean, it leads you down the road of just noticing the usually not noticed, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're probably only aware of a very small percentage of what's happening in our world. You know, our focus is, as you say, sometimes only on the negative. And as we start to expand and notice, okay, that happened as well. But we realize that, geez, not only what other people are doing, but the world around us, the largesse of the world and activity around us is quite large. And even within the practice of living awareness, it's only the second step of meditation. The first one is smile, and it's just about generating just the goodness of making a choice to meditate. And the second step is tip of the nose, which is just noticing the spot on the nose, which allows you to notice the usually not noticed. And you'd be surprised, how dynamic the world is and how many habits we form, as you say, like just, you know, noticing small little actions and noticing small things in life can be really fun and rewarding.
Well, and people may not be familiar with this terminology, but there's psychologists talk about, Gestalt psychologists talk about the figure and the ground. So the figure is where our focus is, and the ground is everything in the background that fades out. And we can shift what we think is our figure, in other words, where we place our focus, and let the rest recede into the background. All too often, people that are helpful to us, especially people like wait staff, we allow to fade into the background. We don't even notice that they're being helpful to us. We only notice them if something goes awry. We only notice
in terms of their service only, you know. Yep. And not in terms of them being a human being.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And even in terms of their service, we might only notice the absence of
right.
what we want. Right?
And that would be the only time we engage them, right?
That's right. So one of the habits that I've developed for myself in terms of strengthening my harmlessness muscle is to find at least one time during the day when someone is helpful to me and I can say to them, you have made my day. So not just thank you, but, you know, you've really made a difference for me in terms of what you've done. And I've said this before in the program, noticing people's name tag and calling them by name, they really perk up because they're not just part of the furniture, right, where they're acknowledged as a human being.
Yes. One of my favorite grocery stores in our small mountain town, you know, the staff obviously is really trained to engage and to talk to you and ask how you're doing. And it's the most popular grocery store in town because everybody just loves that exchange. They really love being met and they love being able to ask questions. The staff is very knowledgeable and very present in every way. And it just makes the whole shopping experience really quite nice indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shifting our focus. Just a quick story. It reminds me of my mom was disabled during my whole life. And we used to go when she passed away several years ago. But towards the end of her life, we used to go downtown. And I would take her on a wheelchair. And they had just installed those lights for the blind that chirp and beep so that blind people know which direction they can walk, which direction is clear for traffic, where there's a green light or a walk symbol. And those were brand new at the time. And I had never seen or heard of them. There's lots of lawyers' offices and very fancy homes in downtown Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But there's also a hospital there and there's a center for blindness. And I heard this really loud chirp and beep and chirp and beep. And I said to my mom, goodness, can you imagine if you worked or you lived on this corner? That would just get so annoying day in and day out. And my mom just looked at me and said, Steve, you know, it would be much more annoying to be blind and be hit by a car because you're trying to cross the road. And she just stopped me in my footsteps. I'll never forget it. She taught me this huge lesson about just the bandwidth of my focus. And it really, you know, my mom taught me so many lessons, bless her soul, my whole life. But that one was profound. It was like, boy, where is your focus? So really, we've just got to sometimes expand, notice the usually not noticed, and listen when someone's schooling you. We're at our first break. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about strengthening our harmlessness muscle. We'll be right back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms Helping Everyday Women Create Extraordinary Lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are going to continue our discussion on strengthening our harmlessness muscle. And we were just talking quite a bit about focus. Where's your focus and emotions? You know, I was talking about expanding my focus and a situation with my mom just really expanded what I was aware of within myself and aware of paying attention in the world around me. But our emotions can really help us with that, I find. If we are really feeling a negative emotion, it can let us know either that we are responding to or initiating harm on some level. If you're feeling frustration and you're really moving along with that, you know, if there's momentum behind it, we talked last week about emotion being energy in motion. So really, you know, as you move toward a better feeling, thought, a better feeling emotion, you're really moving toward creating a more positive reality. So you've got to sort of also expand your view and your sort of emotional repertoire, I find. Mm-hmm. That's an important aspect of being aware of when you're being harmless or when harm is present.
Absolutely, Stephen. And before we get into the different aspects of the repertoire, I just want to share a couple of quotes. Candace Pert wrote this lovely book called Molecules of Emotion. If people haven't read it already, I strongly recommend it. And here's one quote. Emotions are the connectors flowing between individuals, moving among us as empathy, compassion, sorrow, and joy. It is a scientific fact that we can feel what others feel. The oneness of all life is based on this simple reality. You know, that would be that the principle of interconnectivity. Mm-hmm. Our molecules of emotion are all vibrating together. And then I think it's important to also be aware of this second quote. Emotional energy works at a faster speed than the speed of thought. This is because the feeling world operates at a higher speed than the mind. Scientists have repeatedly confirmed that our emotional reactions show up in brain activity. It's a chemical reaction before we even have time to think. We evaluate everything emotionally as we perceive it. We think about it afterwards. So if we really dive into that quote, Steve, what we see is that we have a series of habits that we develop based on those emotional reactions. And if we want to change the way we react, we can't just wait until afterwards and think it through. We need to think it through ahead of time. We need to rehearse. We need to practice what it is we want to do differently so that when that emotional energy gets triggered, it will trigger the positive response that we want rather than the negative.
And that's really about empowering ourselves. You know, I teach quite a bit on the chakras, and our emotional body, the seat of our emotions, is actually in our solar plexus. And it's quite interesting that we've got what's called the enteric nervous system. And that actually, that scientists are there's so much talk about the brain and the gut. Scientists have proved that it's actually the gut that feels at what others feel. It's what the quote you had just read makes me think of the enteric nervous system. And the gut is what releases releases and creates dopamine and serotonin and these chemicals that then let the brain know if this is something we want or something we don't want, if there's reward or if we should contract or respond in a way that moves us away from it. So really it's about empowering ourselves by not just wanting to feel better, but actually making a choice and moving toward a situation or an intention that will create a more positive experience. Indeed.
It's also about consciously working with our emotional repertoire, which oftentimes can be quite limited. If we think about three aspects of it, one is what's called valence, which is, is the emotion positive or negative? And for years, almost all of the research in psychology was on negative emotions, and positive psychology or positive emotions were seen as just kind of light and uninteresting. Now that's shifted, but we do seem to have more sensitivity to negative emotions, which are actually processed in a different part of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one aspect of the repertoire. Another is range, emotional range. And again, our range on the negative side tends to be much broader than on the positive side. So, learning to differentiate and feel a wide range of positive emotions and not just staying with the more familiar negative emotions. And then we have intensity, the depth of emotion, which creates resonance. And again, we tend to have a deeper depth of emotion when we're talking about anger, rage, grief even, than the positive emotions. Although, happiness, joy, delight, all of these can be very intense, but we tend to experience them in very surface ways.
Yeah, one thing I notice is it's actually a process. So I think it's important to sort of also understand that our emotions are markers, and they actually, as we say, they move us into a new state of being. They can. If we keep our thoughts on the same tape, in the same loop, we'll find ourselves sort of in the same emotional rut, so to speak, if we're on the lower, that, as you say, these lower emotions that we're so sort of familiar with, this sadness and frustration and anger. But I often find that grief will move to anger. And with anger, there's a little more power and there's a little more of oneself present. There's more energy moving. So we have to watch not to be super critical, and think, oh, goodness, I was so sad and now I'm angry. It's just all negative. There really is actually a scale, and there's a system to this in a way that the vibration lifts. We'll find that we move from grief to anger to disappointment, and then maybe even to boredom. And then from there, we start to expand to acceptance and we move up. But to me, it seems one generally leads to the other. And as we move up to a higher vibration and a lighter emotion, you'll find that there's more choice, there's more freedom, there's more empowerment. Again, it's like the solar plexus, but it's that when someone feels, apathy or grief, you really just feel completely powerless. You have no sense of self. But as you move toward anger, there's, a more sense of moving and making a choice about something, a contrast, and then hopefully you're moving up that scale.
Well, and it's also important. It's important to remember that we create our feelings based on how we interpret our experience. I mean, if we have, let's say that somebody bumps into us, and we interpret that as he bumped into me purposefully, we're going to feel differently than if our internal comment is, he seems unsteady on his feet. I wonder if he needs help.
Exactly.
It creates a very different energy. And so we do have choices about how we interpret our experience and how we feel as a result.
And that comes back to focus, you know, that comes back to intention as well, of keeping an open mind when a situation like that occurs, of just creating space. We talk a lot about silence, right, Dorothy, about the good that can come from the pause or the not saying something, you know, that idea of somebody Absolutely. Cutting you off or somebody bumping into you. If you've got this intention and you've put forth this intention of no harm, to watch when those negative emotions, that frustration arises, and create space. Try to see that other person that just bumped into you as a human being, to connect with them on a higher level. Create space in that situation. And hopefully that intention of harmlessness comes through, and then you know that thought then arises that says, perhaps they need my help, and then you will act on that by saying, are you okay, mm-hmm. as opposed to, hey,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
what's wrong with you? Indeed. I was with a friend once at a stop sign, and somebody did just that in a car and cut them off, and my goodness, he had quite the temper, and I'll never forget, he put the car in reverse and honked the horn, and everybody was just in danger. And the person really didn't mean any harm, but it became an actual, like, two cars almost crashing and him getting out of the car and going up to the car. And I thought, all right, we don't see each other too much. That was a good sign that I don't think I should be in a car with this person again. But afterwards, I remember just having this conversation with him, like, you know, was it necessary to get so worked up? How are you feeling right now? You know, how's the rest of your day going to be now? You know, was it really worth all of that? And sometimes it just comes down to us having to prove a point, and yeah, not the direction to go.
I think we're at a break, Steve.
Create space. Yes, we will create space. There is space created for us at a break. So, Dorothy, when we come back, I look forward to talking more about our harmlessness muscle. After this break, we'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Hi there, my name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and a spiritual growth coach. I talk about this all the time on my show, listening to your body and acting on intuition. What do these things even mean? Here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I figured out I was doing it all wrong. I mean, I wasn't unhappy, but was I really happy? And then life sent me a spiritual smackdown, like it does, because I wasn't listening to my best resource, my body and my intuition. I was living from a place of fear. I was stressed and I was in pain, and I seemed to be happily unhappy. Mostly I just didn't know what I didn't know. And what I didn't know was that my body and my intuition had all the tools I needed to live life as my best self. I'm sharing the tools I have learned over the last 10 years of my healing journey in my online class, Soul Awakening, beginning September 19th. Learn more. Go to audreymichelle.com/awaken. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/awaken.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Known for his keen sense of humor, contagious smile, and extensive esoteric wisdom, EJ translates deep spiritual wisdom into practical advice to empower you to live your happiest, most fulfilled experience. Mystic Living Radio, Deep Spiritual Wisdom, Practical Advice with EJ, Eliyahu Gihon. This hit show delivers profound experiences for all who want to live life to their deepest desires. Tune in monthly for Mystic Living Radio. Learn more by visiting vitaltransformation.org.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about strengthening your harmlessness muscle. And Dorothy, you know, I run a retreat center and I am one of the head chefs. And we hear a lot of talk about the vegans, about the vegetarians, about the omnivores. And we'll have week-long retreats here that people who are omnivores will be eating vegetarian for 7 days and they get quite nervous. And it's always an interesting conversation amongst our guests as to, how can we practice harmlessness in a way toward the animal kingdom. But some of us, you know, we have incisors. We have a blood type that requires animal protein. And what do we do about that? And in one of my favorite magazines is Spirituality and Health. And they have this great article this month called Why It's Better to Eat a Cow Than a Hen or a Sow. And they're talking about effective altruism, which I find to be so interesting. They say that there are two parts to effective altruism. So altruism is basically can be defined as improving the lives of others. And effective is a wonderful word that they frame it by saying it's doing the most good with whatever resources you have. So another thing is organic food. People talk about, well, perhaps I don't have the financial means to eat all organic. Or, perhaps I really need the resource of animal protein for my body to perform well. So they're talking about this diet. It's a book called The Reducitarian Solution. And it's talking about reducing cruelty toward animals for omnivores. And they've basically put together this rating system that takes a look at the quality of life of animals, because a lot of animals that we eat are factory farmed. And I just find it so interesting because it really speaks to ways that we can incorporate harmlessness in ways we might not have thought of just by simply using our minds. Doing research, you know, create the intention and then see what appears, this magazine with this wonderful article. So they talk about which animals actually have the best life, how long they are in captivity, and what is the quality of life during the captivity. And, you know, so many people, the first thing they cut out is red meat, and they say that they care about cows. They feel that the way they live is inhumane, and so they cut out beef. It turns out that cows have a far better life than most animals that are factory farmed or even that are of all farm animals, that broiler chickens have the worst. Pigs, not such a great life either. So if you're eating bacon or ham, and caged hens or hens that are egg-laying hens, they all score in the negative on this scale. And a cow is positive. It's at a 6. The scale is a negative 10 to 10. And a beef cattle is at a 6, a dairy cow at a 4, whereas cage hens are at a minus 5. So it's just a very interesting way of looking at and really taking the time to examine, these animal products and really trying to make choices that would ensure that your efforts have the highest payoff in terms of avoiding animal cruelty. So check it out. It's an interesting article and just a wonderful way to realize that just by noticing and doing some research and paying attention, so many things that we've offered this whole month, little exercises, ways of noticing throughout the day are just wonderful ways, little ways that small things are big things that you can incorporate harmlessness into your life.
So where can we find the article, Steve?
It's in Spirituality and Health, and that's in almost every – if you have a co-op or it's in a lot of green markets, but it's in any bookstore, Spirituality and Health, and you can look them up online too. It's spiritualityhealth.com. Great magazine full of wonderful articles.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we're talking about the actual practice of harmlessness, I think it's important for us to recognize that unless we've been at this for a while, the habits that we have probably developed over the years, if we just kind of run on automatic, are harmful habits. They're harmful to ourselves, or they're harmful to others. And so if we're going to make a change, we have to be conscious about it, just as you know, as you've mentioned. And we need to be aware of the values that are shaping our action choices. Just like you were saying, Steve, with this, you know, what is it that's important? What is it that will help us behave in a way that promotes the common good and treats others with dignity and respect?
Yeah, it's the small choices sometimes that become very big choices in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the areas where I've actually done a lot of training is in cross-cultural communication. And it's very clear from that work that at least 60% of our behavior is nonverbal. You know, if you notice, it's in how we sit, how we move, where we look, how long we maintain eye contact, how close we are to people or far away. There are many aspects of our nonverbal behavior communicate respect or disrespect,
mm-hmm.
or attention or inattention. And so it's not just what we say, which we talked about last week, but also the way that we are present or not present with others.
We had a retreat here a few weeks ago where we had somebody come in and teach us the Alexander technique, which is really about mindfulness, using your body in a mindful way. We did an exercise where we approached each other and we just watched the way we walked toward another human being, and could we pick up on the vibrational clues that the other person was giving us as to how our speed was affecting our approach to them, how was our eye contact, what was our body movement saying about that approach. And it was so interesting. And as you say, we, you know, if 60% of our behavior is nonverbal, wow, that's a huge percentage. And you don't realize how often we're sometimes just in thought that's just looped thought, and we don't realize that you know, we're around people all the time, and it can be very meaningful. That was a very meaningful exercise. We all learned a lot about creating space and paying attention to the other and what is our body saying in relation to others.
My mother worked in a number of the African countries, and she shared a situation that came up at a conference that she was at. It was an international conference, and there was a man, I forget which of the countries he was from. He was from an African country, and he was clearly uncomfortable, and people were clearly uncomfortable around him, and they would kind of move away from him. So he was rapidly becoming isolated in this kind of reception area. And so my mother walked over to him, asked him where he was from, and then she moved in a way that in North America would be considered very inappropriate, to where she was right in his face, just right in his face. And he relaxed. Mm. And they had a wonderful conversation. And she said afterwards, she said that the culture that he was from, she knew it. In order to make contact with someone, you had to feel the person's breath on your face.
Wow.
That's the distance that you should be at, right? Which
wow.
is, of course, much, much closer than what's acceptable in North America. And so that, to me, was a really good example. And I'll give another example. I grew up mainly in India, and when I came back for college, you know, I was an American, but I really should have been treated as a foreign student because I was not familiar with American customs and stuff. And when I got to graduate school, one of my professors said to me, "You know, Dorothy, you make people uncomfortable." And I said, "I don't intend to." He said, "I'm going to help you with this." He said, "You don't realize it, but you look at people for too long."
Mm.
I said, "Really?" So he would have me he had me sit there in his office, and we started a conversation, and then he said, look away.
Wow.
I would look away. And then I would look back, and we would talk a little more, and he'd say, look away. And he always said it at a point that felt very awkward to me. You know, in other words, about half as long as what I would have thought was normal eye contact. But he did that enough with me that I was able to then incorporate that habit, and I found that people were more relaxed around me.
Hmm. Do you find that when they're more relaxed around you that you could bring more of the longer gaze back in?
No.
No. That's interesting. No. Just
but
curious.
When I return to India, I can bring the longer gaze back in. Or
wow.
If I'm with people from Asia, and it depends on the culture. It depends on the context. But all of these are things that either establish rapport with someone else,
yes,
and allow us to interact in a way that feels comfortable to them, that
yes.
feels respectful to them, as opposed to a way that intentionally or unintentionally feels disrespectful.
And it's just noticing the other. In that exercise of ours, we all realized that our mind was on the exercise and what we were supposed to do or not supposed to do, instead of our focus being on the other that we were approaching. Mm-hmm. So it's really so much about noticing, and it's really so much about connecting. And that is really the joy of life, right, Dorothy? I mean, mm-hmm. hats off to your mom and how exciting life can be to learn these different cultures, and that she knew that and could – the whole room must have shifted as she, you know, approached this man and everybody's sort of in shock and then realizing if they were of the capacity to realize that there was just now a shift in the room and there was a connection made. And may it be so that, you know, we all experience that on some level or another. When anybody mm-hmm. comes to Greenfield, just go to my grocery store and you're going to experience that without a doubt. We're at another break, Dorothy, so we're going to be right back after these words.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com. How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Tune in to The Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio, featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We are wrapping up this month of talking about harmlessness, and hopefully we've inspired you to take a look at the world around you from a different perspective through the lens of harmlessness. And it is really about changing the world we live in, which so often will default to the negative, to the harm, to the separation, and move toward, you know, unity, move toward compassion, move toward creating a respectful world, and one in which we have the capacity to coordinate and co-create. And there's a process to that. It is all about paying attention and creating that shift first within yourself and then in the world around you. And it's just something we've got to intend on a daily basis. Wake up, right, Dorothy, and say, I am going to create a beautiful, harmless day.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And we have, I think what's important is, again, the whole issue of intention and the fact that this isn't something that for most of us comes automatically. It's a shift that we need to work at. In my book, Positive Harmlessness in Practice, I talk about three types of shifts based on the motivation that we're coming from, and all three of them are important. So I'd just like to touch on that, Steve, for a moment.
Sure.
There's the compassionate shift. In other words, recognizing that the way that we are behaving is not optimal in terms of the support and caring that we express for others. And so out of compassion, we work on shifting our behavior. A second way is the grateful shift, where we recognize it's not so much what we're doing or not doing for others, it's what others are doing for us. And so rather than just taking those for granted and feeling entitled, that we actually express that gratitude, that we express what it is that people have done for us. And I'd just like to comment that oftentimes when we think about giving feedback, what we're really thinking about is criticizing somebody else.
Yeah.
It's very important to let people know what matters, what makes a positive difference for us. So giving that feedback of the ways in which people are helpful to us. And then the third shift I call the joyous shift. This is where we are able to experience the joy of being in community, of recognizing that we are in fact connected to everyone else and every aspect of this cosmos. We are part of the whole, and we act from that perspective. So compassionate shift, grateful shift, and joyous shift.
Very, very interesting. It makes me think there was an interesting moment, I believe it was in our first show, Dorothy, where we were talking about harmlessness, and I was just kept staring at the word, and I thought, why does the word harm have to be in the word harmlessness? We're trying so hard not to sort of focus on harm. So could we find another word? What would the word be that might describe that which doesn't create harm? And you said you thought that dignity and respect were right up there. And I have to say, you know, we mentioned it in last week's show that the harmlessness scale and the work you've done for people to use this scale in a way that really does, it creates change. We're talking about this process of change and flexing the muscle, which means doing something. We flex a muscle so we can be stronger, so we have more energy to work toward a certain goal. And, you know, the harmlessness scale really, it is a product that will create that sort of change. So, you know, I'd love just to hear a few more words. We mentioned it last week, but just so the listeners know a little bit about this scale that actually creates awareness, and it allows us to see ourselves and ways in which we may be harmless towards people that we may not be conscious of. And it's only until you get up to the upper levels of this scale that you can approach the idea of compassion and gratefulness and joy, right?
You've said it very well, Steve. I don't think I need to add to it. I think you've done a great job.
Well, wonderful. But, you know, listeners, once again, the book that scale is in, or you could even look it up online, but buy the book because the book is great. It's Positive Harmlessness in Practice. And, you know, you score yourself throughout this with this scale. And it was originally created, Dorothy, correct me if I'm wrong, that was looking at discrimination toward, was it homosexuals in the workplace?
Yeah, yes? It was the original work that I did back in the 1970s. Was a homophobia scale, and you can look that up also.
I see, and they're related, correct.
Called the Riddle scale or the homophobia scale, and then it's been taken by a number of groups and adapted in all kinds of social justice situations. And so I took that original research in and built on that to create the harmlessness scale.
Yeah, the details of that and what it calls you to observe in yourself in relation to others, and specifically in relation to others who might not be like yourself. And that could just simply be cultural. You know, in the instance you talked about your mom and the gentleman from Africa, but you don't realize that there's ways that you might unconsciously be creating a separation. And so I just find it to be a really wonderful exploration, that scale, in a way that just creates awareness and creates almost an adventure, you know, for us to create social justice, just to get out there and be social and use all that you know to create connection as opposed to distance. You know, it can make your day so worthwhile, and actually I find it to be just fun and a challenge, hard work, right? Sometimes it's actually more work to commit yourself to not default to this idea of sort of individual, myself, self, and actually connect. But it's so worthwhile in the end.
Well, the other thing that I would commend to people is, at least this is in terms of feedback that I've gotten, is taking the quiz that goes along with it, the different questions, just in thinking about the situations and the options that are provided for you to choose among in terms of what you would choose to do. That in itself, people say, is very helpful to them in thinking through their own behavior and their own choices.
Well, you know, I'd love to just end this whole month. You know, you've mentioned it's in the book. We've mentioned many times, and it always rings so profound when we talk about the Universal Declaration of the Declaration of Human Rights, and you know that we all have the right to respect, to life, to liberty, security. A little bit different, this is the Universal Declaration of Human Responsibilities and the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. But when we think about the world we'd like to see ourselves living in, you know, those principles are so profound. So, you know, if we wake up in the morning and we say, you know, I am going to, in my thoughts, deeds, words, and actions, I am going to create an environment that allows somebody to feel free, to feel secure, and that, you know, supports the choices they make in their lives. It is the path of harmlessness, as far as I'm concerned.
Especially if you put it in the context of treating others with respect and allowing them dignity.
Yes. Indeed. Beautiful, Dorothy. Well, listen, we're at the end of the show. Next month, we are going to spend an entire month talking about compassion. I'm sure that is going to be intriguing, and much will be covered. It's going to be a wonderful month. I look very forward to it. If listeners, if you have any comments or questions, if you have anything you'd like us to bring up about a past show, we'd be happy to talk about it on air. Just send us an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. Dorothy, thanks for the insightful conversation, and been a delight exploring harmlessness with you.
It's been great, and the month has flown by in terms of the topic, and I look forward to tackling compassion with you.
Me too. It's going to be great. So listeners, once more, SpiritFire.com is an nonprofit educational organization that I represent, and Dorothy with the School for Esoteric Studies at, Dorothy?
EsotericStudies.net.
Very good. It's been great to be with you, listeners. We will be back with you in 1 week's time. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.